This is the Recency Bias. It's Friday night. Your Montreal Canadiens have just won a damn playoff game. And in convincing fashion, 5-0 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Your boy's a little lit. It's Friday night. It's an afternoon game on August. Yeah. Watch it alone, because that's what, that's how that's going to be. It doesn't quite feel like playoffs, but the victory feels real sweet, especially as convincing as it was. It's been a little while since the Habs put together such a convincing playoff win, such a good, solid game. They've had more exciting playoff games, for sure, within the last decade, because they had that one put away for themselves pretty early on. Yeah, and we didn't do a recency bias after game one. Wanted to, literally just got too busy with work. So couldn't pull that off. I thought they played, let's talk about game one first before we get into game two. I thought they played a pretty decent game. I came out of it thinking, that wasn't bad. But Arpan Basu, writing for The Athletic, kind of slapped me in the face with his point that, it's not really great news if the Canadians take this as a moral victory. This is the playoffs. There's no such thing as moral victories. And feeling like just skating with the Flyers, who did come into this after that round-robin tournament amongst the top teams in the East as the number one seed. You just, if you just skate with them and you take that as a moral victory, the series is still lost, especially considering what has been sacrificed. Obviously, the New York Rangers now have Alexei Lafreniere. But even your pick's going to get worse. So, things have been sacrificed, and I'll admit, the ninth pick versus the 16th pick is one playoff win. Is that enough to sacrifice for one playoff win? Hard to say, but the way I'm feeling on this Friday evening, it was kind of nice. It was kind of worth it. Would have been much better if I could have watched it with a bunch of people. And if the Habs have been able to take the life out of whatever the hell the name of the arena is that the Flyers play in. No idea what that is. That would have been fun. But, in those circumstances, your Montreal Canadiens are not in these playoffs. So we're going to have to take what we can get. And yeah, it was good. But game one, back to it. Arpin's right. It wasn't enough that the Habs are just going to we're just going to skate with and be able to look like they could be competitive with the Flyers. That's not enough. Not when it's the playoffs. And it showed probably how little everyone thought of this team. That everyone was so proud of their 2-1 loss in game one. That's not how you do the playoffs. You play to win or it hurts. And there's no upside to it, especially for the Habs now. I mean, Carey Price, once again, was amazing in Game 1. We saw some good things. Suzuki still looked pretty solid. But you weren't convinced that they could necessarily beat the Flyers. That is until Game 2, Friday afternoon. Canadians came out ready to go, and this is the part of the podcast where we got to talk about Claude Julien, who suffered chest pains, got taken away after the loss on Wednesday night, went to a hospital. So he's recovering, and everyone expects him to make a full recovery. But for the time being, somebody has to step into the head coaching position. That time being at least the rest of the series. That's as much as the Canadiens have said so far, is that Claude will not be back in this round, at least. So Captain Kirk becomes head coach Kirk. Look good. Look good behind the bench, and his team certainly played in front of him. I don't know, plenty of people will say that one was for Claude Julien. That's what fired the Canadiens up. Who knows? Was it the plan Kirk Muller put together? Was it a combination of things? Would the game have played out exactly the same if Claude Julien had been fine and Danny was behind the bench for this one? I don't know. There's no way to know. with the circumstances that were brought us here, and as I was talking about earlier, these COVID circumstances are ridiculous, but here's where we are, and I'm going to take it, especially when the win is as good as it was on Friday night. Just dominant, just an absolutely dominant performance. Carey Price looked very good, really good. It was a shutout for CP. Can't argue with that. Obviously, the kids look good. Thomas Tatar, who had been in a funk, in a real funk, the kind of funk that made all of us Habs fans who, in getting him from Las Vegas, could not understand. Couldn't fathom how this guy had been left out of the lineup during a Stanley Cup run, because the Thomas Tatar, the tuna that we saw, great player. Little bit of mystery of where Thomas Tatar was in that opening, that play-in round against Pittsburgh, and really didn't look himself in game one against the Flyers, but a two-goal night for Tatar. He put the Canadiens on the board in the early going, the very early going on this one. A lot of people, I imagine, probably missed that first Habs goal, to be honest with you, because, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, even if you're working from home and you were getting around to it, you know, you're finishing something up, might have missed it. It only took a minute and 2 seconds for Tatar to break what was definitely a funk. And 12:36 into the period, Kotkaniemi gets his third. I'm putting air quotes on that. Third of these playoffs. First NHL playoff goal, in my opinion. But how long am I going to stick to that? And then, Tuna putting the funk real far behind him with his second of the game. Minute 25 into the second period is a power play goal. Canadiens power play actually counted two in this one. Kotkaniemi got his second on the night in his fourth of these playoffs. In that third period, Joel Armia adding a goal as well for the Canadiens. That's a good sign. Evans, who slotted in this one and getting the apple on that, because you know who wasn't in this one? Dale Weiss. Former Flyer Dale Weiss. And I love Dale Weiss. Dutch Gretzky, big fan. But if he's on your team right now, you're in trouble. And tonight he wasn't, and the Canadiens were in trouble. He doesn't have it anymore. So I thought that made a lot of sense. Also had Max Domi getting it going. No longer on the fourth line. Great. I mean, what do you want? It was an amazing night from the team. Just a completely convincing win, top to bottom. Flyers head coach Ale Vigneault not happy, not at all happy, with Kirk Muller deciding to put his first power play unit out on the ice late in the game with the Canadiens up 5-0, saying, you know, we embarrass ourselves enough. I don't need to add that. I'll be telling my team about that. Okay, Ale. It's the playoffs, buddy. Suck it up. For his part, Kirk Muller said, we're not getting much practice time here. I want my power play unit to be working together. And, as I said, it's the playoffs. You can't be complaining about that in the playoffs, Ale. It's ridiculous. God, how my voice went. It's how ridiculous it is. These are the playoffs. You play to win until it's over. There's no tip of the cap and walk away. And you're the Philadelphia Flyers. Suck it up, man. I don't like that. And I know what he's trying to do. It's obvious he's trying to get his own team fired up. So look at the lack of respect they're putting on us. So I get it. It's gamesmanship. It's not, you know, he doesn't mean it. He understands. Absolutely, Ale Vigneault understands why Kirk Muller had his top power play unit out there late in the game, despite the fact that they'd chased Hart from the game. Kid who looks up to Carey Price, and he does. Getting chased in front of his idol, that's embarrassing. Ooh, that hurts. I don't think it was Carter Hart's fault. Certainly not the goal that got him chased from the game wasn't his fault, but he didn't have a particularly bad night. He's been incredible for the Flyers so far. He is the real deal. I know the night didn't go Philly's way, but he is the real deal. he'll be back in there, and I imagine there's going to be something to answer for this in Game 3 for the Habs. So they've got that to look forward to. Because that kid can play. And speaking of that kid can play, I mean, yeah, let's give Kotkaniemi his proper praise. Kid was down in Laval for much of the season. Really, really struggling. Really, really had a hard time in this second year in the NHL. But I don't know if it was his time in Laval or the break from the quarantine. But he figured it out. He figured some things out. He looks like the Kotkaniemi that we had seen flashes of in his rookie season. And then there's Suzuki, who is just a great goddamn player. Maybe one of the Habs, maybe the Habs' best forward right now. Already at his young age, and the sky seems like it's the limit for him. Anyone who listens to this podcast knows, you know, we've all been impressed with him throughout the season, but what he's done in these playoffs has elevated my expectations, my hope at least. Maybe not my expectations. Let's say my hope has been elevated to the point. I mean, he could very well be our David Krejci. And part of me wonders if he could be our Patrice Bergeron. Like, if we're looking for our number one, yeah, he's a number one center in the making. Maybe not the league's best number one center, maybe not the league's top five number one centers. But I think I don't know what he could be, because it looks like he's something really, really special right now. He's blown my mind, and every, you know, I'm not alone in that. I'm not saying anything no one else is saying. But I've been so, so impressed with Suzuki. So where does that leave us? Do we think the Habs can beat the Flyers? You can't watch that game and say it's impossible. The Flyers are a good team. There's still a long way to go. This series is only even 1-1. If this were the real world, I mean, it is the real world. It's the two real world. But if this was a non-COVID time, if things were like they were back in the day, we'd be saying, that's fantastic. Montreal coming back to Montreal with an even split. But they're just staying in the bubble, so those kind of things matter much less. All the same, you've got the series split 1-1. You looked pretty solid in game one. You looked like you could keep up. And even if that wasn't probably going to be enough, you come out in game two like the Habs did, and you're feeling pretty good about yourselves. Now you got to expect Ale Venue will wake the Flyers up for game three, but I'm excited. I'm very excited to watch this thing now. You know, after game one, well, I had a good time. I hadn't got to the point that I talked myself into any expectation that the Canadians could find a way to win this thing. But Price has looked so good. And if the guys can repeat what they did today in at 90% even, yeah, obviously we got a chance against the Flyers for an upset here. Two in a row against the Pennsylvania squads. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting way ahead of us. We're probably all getting potentially a little ahead of us. But who cares? This is the playoffs. There's no really getting ahead of anything. Playoff hockey's game by game. And that game was utterly convincing from the Canadians. You can't walk away feeling better. Shea Weber looked great. The whole team right on down the line. Max Domi getting very much involved in things. A point on the night. 2 points on the night, actually. Drouin even picking up a point. Who did you want to see more from? They all kind of played to their peak ability. Shea Weber even making goalie saves in there in the lake, going to preserve the shutout for CP. I mean, obviously 1,000-point save percentage on the night for Carey Price. That can't last, but overall, his stats in these playoffs... Wait, they weren't giving me the playoff stats. Pulling it up as I was giving my intro for it, and was all ready, and doesn't have the playoff stats. 953, there we go. Carey Price save percentage in the playoffs, six games, 953. That's elite. It's really good stuff. He's got the shutout in his back pocket. He looks at like, you know, I'm going back over what we've already done on this thing, but... He looks like the guy who was himself at his peak. Everything he does, he's so locked in. I wasn't worried at all that he wasn't going to get the shot. I mean, there were moments where, you know, in the late goal where Shea Weber was lying out and playing goalie or something, that maybe the shutout could have been broken. But as far as his play, I was so confident that he wasn't going to let one in tonight, this afternoon. And he didn't. He's locked in, and you know, to what degree does the rest of the team feed off that confidence? It has to affect you. When you know Carey Price is back there and being locked in, you know, and we know that when he's at his best, he's one of the best players in the world. So if you've got that behind you, you can play with a little more confidence. Not to mention, you know, when he feels that confidence, you saw it in this game. You saw it in game two. Carey Price doing some things where you know he's locked in. He's coming out of the net. He's aggressive on the puck. He's making big passes. He's engaged at all times, no matter where the Habs are on the ice, and is two steps ahead and ready to send them back out there. And in a night when they were owning the neutral zone, when they were all over the middle, when every pass was connecting crisply, and they seemed to be just more intelligent than the Flyers. They were making really smart plays. Everybody knew the next step. I mean, that's how you end up with a 5-0 win, a very convincing 5-0 win. And now the Flyers wake up and they punch back, and you see how the Canadians are going to be able to respond to that. But I can't come out of a game. I don't know who could come out of that game disappointed about anything that happened. Next one, Sunday night, 8 o'clock. Opportunity to take the lead in the thing. It's fun. I'll give it that much. Again, I don't think yet worth the sacrifice, the loss of Alexei Lafreniere, although at least, thank fuck, he wound up in New York. That's not a bad spot to be. I'm okay with that as a Habs fan. He didn't go where I wanted, which is Winnipeg, but he didn't go, I mean, before it became apparent that one of the teams getting dropped from the play-in round was going to get him. It was very scary that Ottawa could have got Alexei Lafreniere. That seemed, frankly, the most likely scenario. So we dodged that bullet, and then dodged the bullet of the Leafs getting him, making that Leafs loss all the greater. And now, for somebody like me who lives in Toronto, you know, beautiful Space Needle just out my window, being able to throw on the Habs t-shirt and walk around Toronto now that I know they didn't get Lafreniere, now they're feeling a little bit panicked, now that Nazem Kadri is doing great things for the Colorado Avalanche in the playoffs, you know, I'm feeling great. I hope you are too. That might as well be the spot to leave this thing. Wherever you listen, if it's Friday night, which, you know, I appreciate it, but it's Friday night. Maybe you could wait until tomorrow for the pod. Or Saturday morning, Sunday morning, as you get ready for the big game 3 between the Flyers and the Canadiens. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I know I will enjoy mine. And we'll talk again either Sunday evening, that'll be a little later, or Monday morning for another episode of the Recency Bias. Maybe we'll try and get... I'm going to see if we can try and get Sean on the phone after Sunday's game. We'll see what happens. All right. Enjoy yourselves, Habs fans. The series is even. The Habs just leveled the Flyers in a very convincing fashion. And Carey Price is locked in. Take care.